that one. It just needs, just, it's all right. I'll be all right. I just won't look at it. Just looking at you guys. Charlie, put that first verse up there for me, please. Hebrews 13:8. Everybody say it with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now say it again like you mean it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? You believe Jesus Christ is the same today as he was when he walked this earth, regardless of what circumstances say, regardless of what the world says. We cannot change his word that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm just looking at my watch, sorry, because we don't have the timer. And the Lord's been really stirring me in this area of building our confidence in God. I preached a couple messages on the Sunday mornings in regards to that. And I just want to just keep going for until the Lord says stop. So I'm going to continue with the series that I'm going to call Yesterday, Today, and Forever. And I want us to be a church that has great confidence in God our Savior. And, you know, years ago, how many were with us at the Crossway? Well, there wouldn't be many here tonight. Like in the morning there would be. But how many were with us years ago when we did the Healing Crusades? Hands up. Were you cheery? You might have just been starting to come, I think, because it was a while back. We were in this hall. Yeah, we had quite a few in this hall. All right, look, we saw some things. We saw some things in those days. And, you know, I feel strongly about us being a church that talks about it and believes it and speaks it. All right, because it builds one another up. And in those days when we were having the Healing Crusades, it was for about 18 months we did it. And we'd go to different places in the area. We've been to like every little, you know, community suburb, Berkeley, Warwong, you name it. We went up to the Highlands. We did, didn't we? And look, because we were talking it and speaking it and teaching it and preaching it a lot, we were seeing a lot of people get healed. Now, it wasn't anything that we were doing. It was that confidence builds. Confidence in Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I'm hoping over the next few weeks or however long the Lord says that we can build confidence as a church and we're going to see more of these things happen. Will you believe with me? It's just churning in my heart. Because let me tell you, healing isn't just, it's been from day one. And a lot of people like don't realize how much it was in church history. And now, so there's going to be a little bit of teaching here, and I'm going to do a little bit of reading, but I want you to get this. All right, there's three things I want to tell you first up about healing in church history. First of all, it did not cease with the close of the first century or the completion of the New Testament. And I got proof. Okay, I got real proof. Healing did not stop with the apostles. Second, it continued to occur through major historical periods. And I'm going to show you some examples tonight through the patristic period, the medieval period, the Reformation, right up till modern times. There was healings happening in all those ages through history. Definite recorded ones that were confirmed. And the third point was this. When major authorities endorsed the gifts, they occurred widely. When they weren't endorsed, there was a decline. Now, you know, anything that something is talked about and pushed and heard about a lot, I don't care what it is, it builds confidence and things start to happen. You look at the minority groups in the nation. Once the minority groups start pushing what it is, ever it is they're pushing, that's all we hear then. And what happens? Things change. Governments change. Bills come out. And stuff starts changing. Why? because people are passionate about something. They're passionate about what they believe in, and so it begins to happen. And we've heard so many preachers say through the years, if you preach forgiveness, people are going to get saved. If you preach healing, people will get healed. If you preach joy and peace and all those things that come in Jesus Christ, you're going to see a people who live with that joy and peace. And so, you know, I want us to just try and get into that mode now, because I believe God is doing another turn, all right? I think he's stirring up the body of Christ, because it's happening right across denominations. It's happening. People are getting healed, and we're seeing miracles right across denominations. There's a gentleman by the name of J. Sidlow Baxter. Anybody ever heard of him? All right. Well, he has done quite an extensive research in healing, in particularly in church history. And he says there are four different attitudes. Now, any one of us could sit in any one of these attitudes, all right, that are out there. And I've heard many of them out there and just across the board with different Christians, you know, didn't matter what denomination, people have these attitudes. First of all, the one attitude is, signs and wonders ceased with the end of the apostolic age. Anything which appears to be such did not occur by divine means. Okay, so there's an attitude that it finished. So if we see it happening, we just excuse it away somehow. All right? Then there's the second attitude. They ceased only because they belonged to the earliest centuries and were no longer needed as divine credentials. Now, that one gets me. Do you want to be well and healthy? Do we want to see sicknesses like cancer and heart ailments and all these things, these crippling diseases? Do we want to see them annihilated? There's need for divine healing in this day and age. I don't care what anybody says. There's need. The third attitude out there is signs and wonders faded out gradually as the condition of the church deteriorated. Now, in one sense, that can be true. Because if the church enters a church at large, you know, a thing of like the Dark Ages, or where we start to ignore these things or discount them, then it will fade away. Because there's no expectation to what God can and will do. And then the fourth attitude, of course, is signs and wonders have never ceased among true Christian believers. I want to be in that group. How about you? Amen. We're going to be in that group together. All right, so the very first thing that I see as that comes as a, well, something that kind of is a blockage to people believing for divine healing, and that's the revealed will of God. All right, in many churches today, we've set aside the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we've allowed our faith to kind of die out a little bit. And look, it's across the board. Like, I'm not picking on any particular denomination, because, you know, it happens right across the board. And I know, like I said, we went through a season where we were having healing crusades, and then when that stopped, and it kind of, oh, yeah, you know, you just move on to something else, kind of, we didn't see them anymore. All right, so we kind of set aside the supernatural and the spiritual because sometimes it doesn't fit in with our logic and what our brain's telling us. And I believe God's wanting to stir up the supernatural amongst us. And the foundational cornerstone for healing is the revealed will of God. If you are unsure if it's God's will or not for you or anyone else to be healed, then it poses a problem. And a lot of people think if someone doesn't get healed, it wasn't God's will. Well, I'm going to discount that tonight too. All right? It's just like saying there's a scripture in the Bible that says, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we know God does not will for anybody to go to hell. God wills for everyone to come to the knowledge of the Savior Jesus Christ. Scripture says it. But yet, not everybody does. That doesn't mean God doesn't save. Anybody who comes to him, he will save. anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it doesn't change the fact that people don't come to him and don't get born again doesn't change what his word says. And that's what we have to remember. It's the same thing with healing. We get so in this little box because we don't see it happen with certain individuals, and then we start bashing ourselves. Why? What happened? No. Don't worry about the whys. Keep believing and looking in the confidence of Jesus Christ, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he does not change. I need the glasses. And so where do we see God's will? Well, of course, we see God's will in his son, Jesus Christ. He is the express image of the Father, and everything we saw Jesus do is God's will for mankind. And Charlie, if you can put up Matthew 4, 23 and 24, please. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What's the gospel of the kingdom? Right there gives you the answer. The gospel of the kingdom is what he said in Luke 4. I'm anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to break the chains of the oppressed, and everything that's in Luke chapter 4. All right? Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It wasn't the gospel of that era. It was the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease among the people. Verse 24. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments. Nothing was excluded. Nothing. And those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And if you could put the next scripture up, please, Charlie. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Now, take notice of that right there. He cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. And now there's a comma. All right? Keep going. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, I've heard a lot of people say through the years, Isaiah 53, 4 just means you've been healed spiritually. Rubbish. Go back, Charlie. Go back, the first verse 16 before. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, continue, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Jesus' healing and the miracles that he did was a fulfillment of the prophecy that said he came not only to set us free from sin, but from sickness and disease. It was the fulfillment of the prophecy. That is the will of God. And he doesn't change it for individual people. He doesn't say, it's not my will to heal you. Never, nobody ever went to Jesus and he said no. He never, ever see that. So why aren't we seeing it? What Jesus did 2,000 years ago, he's doing today, and yet the miracles seem to be in only third world countries. Don't they? I want to show you something. Charlie, can you put up the slides that Sarah set up for you? Okay, just hold that one right there. This is on my cousin Dale. This is on his Facebook page. My cousin Dale has been a traveling evangelist since he was 16. And you know what? He's seen signs and wonders in all of it. Like, this is in Africa. I'm going to show you. He's there right now. These pictures have just been posted. And he's there right now. He asked Chuck and I to go with him on this trip, but we couldn't do it. And this is what he said. God blessed us with a strong Saturday night crusade service. 8,000 attended. Another 2,000 prayed to be born again. Great healing testimonies that include healing of deaf ears, spinal injuries, and we prayed with hundreds to be healed of malaria with evidence of God's touch in their bodies. The healing team on the ground and Pastor Paul Gifford share the testimony tonight and drew many to the Savior. We have all the team members ministering in churches on Sunday morning, and then we will all meet on the crusade grounds for one final service. And in previous posts, he said cripples and everything, crutches were going and everything. And these are genuine miracles. And I put that up to say this is what's happening in the other countries. Flip the next one. Look at this. This is just now. 8,000 people. Next one. And that's my cousin Dale there. Now, I'm telling you, God called him when he was 16. He's never let go of it. And because he never stopped believing in the power of God, he sees it in his ministry. And he doesn't just see it in third world countries. He travels across the states and ministers in churches and sees healing in those churches as well. But, you know, why is it that we see it in masses like this in third world countries? Because we've become really, really comfortable and dependent on medical technology. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with medicine, okay? But that's where our confidence usually lies. And these people out there, if they don't get healed, they're dead. They don't have access to what we have access to, but they have access to the power of God. And we have access to that as well. It's amazing. We need to take note of what Jesus did and said with regards to healing and also of what he didn't say. You'll never find recorded, and look, I'm not, please don't think that I'm pointing fingers or anything. I have to refresh myself with this stuff because we get caught up in what, you know, we always feel like we have to have a reason or an excuse when we don't see something happen the way we'd like it to happen. God doesn't need us to justify him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, a lot of times I think he doesn't want us to get so caught up in the whys and just keep believing in the who he is. All right, we never heard Jesus say, "This sickness is doing you good." When anybody came to him, did we ever hear him say that? No. We never heard him say, "It's not your time, go away." Nope. We never heard him say, "It's building your character." Or, "I need to teach you something." The word is there to teach us anything we need to learn. The word and the Holy Spirit. So he never looked for something good in healing, but he always approached it as the evil that it is. He never looked for the good in it because there isn't any good in sickness and disease. You know, yeah, sure, you might be in a situation where, okay, you were able to use an opportunity for the kingdom of God, but, you know, God could use you without you being sick. All right, so yes, anything could be turned around, but we need to start believing as a body that God wants us well. And not just us, but people we come in contact with. That we are his hands and we are his feet. Because we're living in a day and age now where, man, it's just, if you watch too many ads on TV, it'll freak you out. You know, about this kind of cancer and diabetes, and make sure when you get the kit in the mail, you do the kit and you have your mammograms and all this stuff. Fear. It's building fear in people. It's building fear. And I shut it off and I think, "Thank you, Jehovah Rapha. You are my doctor. I go to you, Jehovah Rapha. I don't want to know what they have to say about anything. I want to." And you know, Chuck was just telling me, it amazed me. I didn't know that. When he was at this last trip home, Like, because over there, when I was over there, it was even worse. What was on to every ad had something to do with pills, medication, sickness, heart attacks, you name it. Every ad. And I thought, man, this place is depressing. Anyway, he was with his family and friends, and they were all talking about all the medications they're on. And they looked at Chuck, and they said, what are you on? He said, I'm not on anything. And they said, what? I said, no, and neither is Marianne. We're not on anything. We're not even on blood pressure pills. Well, I firmly believe that Jesus keeps me whole. And look, if you're struggling with things in your body, I am not taking this lightly, all right? Because there's issues I'm struggling with in my body. But I refuse to believe that the devil will get me. And I refuse to believe that Jesus is not the same yesterday, today, and forever, regardless of what my body's telling me. I still choose to trust Jehovah Rapha. So I want to give you, for the rest of the time that's left, yeah, I still got some time, I want to give you some examples of some things that have actually happened in history, and I'm just going to read them to you. And this one took place in the patristic age. And this was a man by the name of Hilarion, and he lived between 291 and 371. He was educated and converted at Alexandria. By the time he'd been in the desert for 22 years, he was like a monk. He became widely known by reputation throughout the cities of Palestine. Jerome, in his Life of Saint Hilarion, tells of a number of the miracles, healings, and expulsion of demons which occurred during his ministry. Here are a few selected ones. A certain woman of Eleutheropolis, finding herself despised by her husband because of her sterility, after 15 years of married life, she had brought forth no children, was the first who dared to intrude upon Blessed Hilarion's solitude. While he was still unconscious of her approach, she suddenly threw herself at his knees, saying, "Forgive my boldness, forgive my importunity. Why do you turn away your eyes? Why do you shun my pleas?" It reminds me of the widow in the Bible, you know? "Do not look upon me as a woman, but as a creature to be pitied, as one of the sex that brought forth the Redeemer." How's that for an alibi? Hey, I'm of the same sex that brought forth the Redeemer. "For they that are whole need not the physician, but they that are sick." He stood still, and finally aware of the woman, asked her why she had come and why she was weeping. When he learned the cause of her grief, raising his eyes, now she'd been sterile for 15 years, raising his eyes to heaven, he commanded her to have faith and believe. He followed her departure with tears. When a year had gone by, he saw her with her son. This is in, you know, what was it, 291 to 371. So it didn't cease. And, you know, when we were doing those healing crusades, we had a similar thing happen. Remember? Yep. A woman came. She could not fall pregnant. And everything she'd done, she'd been to IVF and everything, could not fall pregnant. And we prayed for that woman. And she came to one of our crusades about a year later, and she was pregnant with twins. And then we met the twins. Amazing. Amazing what God can do. All right, and then the medieval age. St. Francis of Assisi, 1181 to 1226. I'm just doing this to give you a foundation so that you can see we have a right to believe this. It's been going on for years, and we need to make sure we don't let that flag die, that flag come down. St. Francis was the founder of the Franciscan Order. He had an incredible healing ministry. The following selections are from a vast number of miracles which occurred in the ministry of Francis. Once when the holy man of God, Francis, was going about through various regions to preach the kingdom of God, he came to a certain city called Tuscanella. There, when he was sowing the seed of life in his usual way, I like that, in his usual way, are we sowing the seeds of life every day? When he was sowing the seeds of life in his usual way, a certain soldier of that city gave him hospitality. He had only one son who was lame and weak of body. Though he was a young child, he had passed the years of weaning, yet he still remained in a cradle. When the father of the boy saw the great sanctity of the man of God, he humbly cast himself at his feet, begging from him help for his son. But Francis, who considered himself useless and unworthy of such great power and grace, refused for a long time to do this. But finally, overcome by the insistence of his petitions, he prayed and then put his hand upon the boy and, blessing him, raised him up. Immediately, with all present looking on and rejoicing, the boy arose completely restored and began to walk here and there about the house. This was a boy still in his cradle. Once when the man of God Francis had come to Narnia and was staying there for a number of days, a certain man of that city, Peter by name, lay in bed paralyzed. For a period of 5 months, he'd been so deprived of the use of all his limbs that he could not rise at all. He could not rise at all. Or have the use of his feet and hands and head. He could only move his tongue and open his eyes. When he heard that Francis had come to Narnia, he sent a messenger to the bishop of that city to ask him for the love of God to send the servant of the Most High God to him, confident that he would be freed from the illness from which he suffered at the sight and presence of Francis. And so it happened that when the blessed Francis had come to him and had made the sign of the cross over him, you know, God will do it however you want to do it. He wants us well. Made the sign of the cross over him from his head to his feet, he was immediately healed and restored to his former health. Then we move up to the 21st century. Banner headline from the Post Express, a Nigerian newspaper on Saturday, December 8, 2001, screamed out. So this is just 13 years ago. Bonky raises man from death in Onitsha. From rigor mortis corpse to resurrection man. Jesus Christ the same. The man in the headline referred to as Bonky is Reinhard Bonky, a German evangelist. Now, let me tell you, I was looking for this bit of information because I knew Reinhard Bonky had raised the dead. And you know where I found it? On the blog of a Catholic priest. Right across denominations. God doesn't care what church we go to, what denomination we are. He wants us well. The man in the headline referred to as Bonky is Reinhard Bonky, a German evangelist. The man raised from the dead is Pastor Daniel, I can't pronounce his name, of the Power Chapel Evangelical Church in Onitsha. Pastor Dan was in a car accident on Friday morning, November 30th, where his head hit the windshield and the steering wheel punched into his body. He was pronounced dead, I love this, by two different doctors at two different hospitals and released to a mortuary where the embalming procedures were commenced. Embalming procedures. Pastor Dan's wife, Namika, had heard in her mind, this is the importance of reading the scriptures. Because, you know, when you need it, the word will come back and be a rhema to you. She heard in her mind the scripture from Hebrews 11, women receive their dead raised to life again. And demanded Pastor Dan's body be brought to the church where Bonky was preaching. I'd have a fit. Can you imagine a woman bringing her rigor mortis husband already embalmed? I'd flip out. Why? Because the confidence isn't there. Man. Demanded Pastor Dan's body be brought to the church where Bonky was preaching at 5:15 Sunday afternoon, 2 days after dying with his body already stiff. Pastor Dan opened his eyes and sat up. documented. This is documented miracles. Is your confidence building? Let's think how many more weeks of this. Amen. And now this one just happened within the last couple of weeks, right here in the Illawarra, at the Wollongong Presbyterian Church. Wanuna Presbyterian Church. Janet's doctor was considering stopping her pre-sent chemo treatment, as it appeared to be ineffective and her cancer markers were climbing. Now, that's pretty serious. All right, I work in cancer care, and if the cancer markers are climbing, they virtually say, it's not working, forget it. There's nothing we can do. Some folk at Wanuna Presby organized a roster of people to fast and pray for 40 days. This is the minister's wife that's got the cancer. So some of the folk at the church organized a roster of people to fast and pray for 40 days. People chose a day to fast from 7 p.m. till 7 p.m. the next day. They only did it one day, but it would happen over 40 days. They had different people doing it. Focusing their prayers on Janet's healing and handing over to the next person by ringing them and praying over the phone together. These are just simple people in the Illawarra. You got somebody on your heart? Get some people to fast and pray. The 40-day roster filled quickly. A number of people have spoken to us about the personal benefit gained from earnestly seeking God in this focused way and learning to turn hunger pains into reminders to pray. During the 40 days, Janet's cancer markers dropped from 870 to 407. In half when they'd been climbing. And a supplementary drug was added to her treatment. Now you might say, oh, well, the treatment did that. But the treatment wasn't doing it. Prayer can make treatments work. Okay, you got to do what God tells you to do. People have to do, don't ever, ever, you know, discourage people from their treatment or their medication or whatever. All right? You know, God is the end in all that. And, you know, if so be it, if a time comes and a person doesn't need the treatment anymore, then praise God. But God can make the treatment work even when it's not supposed to work. Because he just that little bit of faith, he works with that. And we all have it. We all have mustard seed faith. You don't have to say, I don't have faith, or beat yourself, I didn't have enough faith. We all have it. We just have to be confident in what we have. And he says, we are so grateful to our dad in heaven for his love expressed through his people, the wonders of modern medicine, and his healing and intervention. Just in the last couple weeks at Wanuna Presbyterian Church. Let me tell you, people, we will go through times where it looks grim. And people will come in and out of our lives, and people won't beat certain illnesses. And it tends to dash our confidence. But it doesn't change Jesus. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And, you know, if it means, you know, if God puts on your heart to take someone, you know someone who's struggling with an illness, and even if it's just two or three people, you know, and just do a fast. It doesn't have to be 40 days, but only if God puts that in your heart. You know, it's not a works thing. This is something that, you know, they felt impressed to do. But what I'm saying is, don't let circumstances and hardships through the years get you off the mark of who Jesus is and what his will is. Don't ever let that change. Don't let circumstances change that, because otherwise we won't see the power of God. If we're so consumed, really, because it's becoming such a big almost like an epidemic of serious illnesses happening. And, you know, and you walk through the hospital, it's tragic. It's tragic. And, you know, and like what's happening to Ronnie Van Kempen is tragic. Right? But it doesn't change that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think if we can get our eyes off the despair, get our eyes off the people who die, get our eyes off the reports, what's happening, how many, the rise, and keep our eyes on Jesus. And as a church, you know, he might use you to just that one touch. That one touch, and someone's life could be changed and turned around. Amen? Stand with me and say again, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Let's finish with a song.
Them long nights, those cold nights in them halls. Good times. Good times. Coming back to your heart, now I surrender, take me, this is all I can bring.
church. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you all next week. See you out in the home groups. And be a blessing this week to somebody. Amen.
You feel it?